The Holy Spirit, the Holy Anointed, will come out of us and bless us. that's praise the Lord for the Lord.
Bless your sister Brenda.
Yes.
Thank God for his touch.
Yes.
In your Bibles, there are four verses that we want to look at in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. These verses are not unfamiliar to you, but I believe that God has a word for you this morning. Over the last month or so, as I thought of how I would go through the process of conclusion and transition and what I would say to you each and every Sunday, I said, Lord, I need to be strategic in my messages to the congregation, and I need your Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. I need your words, not my words. I need your will, not my will. These are your people. This is your word. I'm just a vessel in your hands that I'm just blessed to be used by you. And so Holy Spirit brought this passage of text to me, and I didn't want to preach on it for the simple fact that 19 months ago I used the same passage, and I don't like doing repeat sermons. I believe there's enough of the Bible that you can preach a lifetime and not explore every verse. But given the context of our situation and my situation and your situation and all of our situations, Holy Spirit would not turn me loose. And so I looked at 10 other passages and other messages and different things that I've done in the past, and the Spirit just keeps bringing me back to this one. And so I understood in a greater way this morning why he would have done so. And so there is a word from the Lord for you this morning. And Sister Eleanor, there is a beauty about God's word, because 19 months ago, I was in a different place and I saw the text differently. 19 months later, there's all kinds of things talking to me in the text that didn't speak to me before today. And so I'm hoping that as we make our way through the text, Brother Barry, that we're going to see some things that we may have missed or perhaps have a deeper meaning to us today. And this is the beauty about the Word of God, that it is relevant, Sister Eddie, and is applicable to all of life, regardless of whatever stage or phase you find yourself in. And if you have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that is open, I believe God's word will speak to you wherever you are. And so I believe this morning we've got a message that I believe that is relevant and applicable to us. And I hope that you will join with me as we dissect the word and pull out the nuggets and the biblical truths that we find here contained within God's Holy Scripture. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 22. Then they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Oh, I'm so glad he touched me. They brought a blind man to Jesus and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Do not go into the village." This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. and I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball. So neighbor, don't leave until you see things clearly. Don't leave until you see things clearly. Jesus said to the man, once more, he looked up and said, I see people and they look like trees. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. His eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. There's some people that I'm speaking to this morning that's about to give up on life because they're not seeing things clearly. There's some people that's about to give up on their families because they're not seeing things clearly. There's some folks that's about to give up on their marriages because they're not seeing things clearly. Somebody's about to give up on a son because they're not seeing things clearly. Somebody's about to give up on a daughter because they're not seeing things clearly. Somebody's about to give up on God because they're not seeing things clearly. Somebody's about to give up on the promises of God because they're not seeing things clearly. Somebody used to sing, but they don't sing anymore because they're not seeing things clearly. Somebody's about to give up on the call of God because they're not seeing things clearly. Somebody's about to give up on their anointing because they're not seeing things clearly. Somebody's about to give up on their dream because they're not seeing things clearly. Don't give up on your vision. Make sure you see things clearly. It was Jesus' desire, Brother Morgan, that the man that he had placed his hands upon did not leave his presence until he saw things clearly. I want to talk to you, New Hope. We've got some changes coming up in front of us. And I've chatted with many of you. And some of you say, well, Pastor, if you're not here, I don't know if I'm coming back. I came by to tell you this morning, do not leave until you see things clearly. This is my transition, not yours. Don't make it about you. Do not leave until you see things clearly. If you transition and God hadn't tell you to transition, you are operating outside of the will of God. And you will end up in a place that God doesn't have for you. And you're going to wonder why you can't see things clearly. So don't transition, Miss Gina. Don't transition, Carmen, until you see clearly. Jesus wanted the blind man to leave his presence seeing things clearly. It's important for you as you journey through life, Alric, to see things clearly. Too many people are making decisions with their sunglasses on, and they're running into stuff. You got to see things clearly. Some people are trying to find focus and direction, but they got cataracts in their eyes and they can't see. Don't leave until you see things clearly. I'm going to slow this down before I start to hoop and holler, because I need you to get this for just a little bit. Let me give you the context, because everything that I like to preach on, you need to understand the context. And this passage is really about understanding who Jesus is. And do you know that the disciples and the Pharisees and the scribes were around Jesus, but they didn't really know who Jesus is or was? And we can talk about them, but do you know there's a lot of church folk in church every Sunday, but still don't know who Jesus is? Because you know how I can tell that? Because as we talked about my transition, a lot of folks got upset. Hadn't even gone and talked to the Lord about what he wanted them to do. And start making decisions about their future without even talking to God. But we say we're Christians. If we are truly Christians and believers and followers of Jesus Christ, before you make any decision, you will find your place on your knees and in God's word, seeking direction and clarity, making sure you see clearly before you make a decision. I'm not going to get a lot of amens on that one today because I'm going to poke you. I got 2 weeks left. You got nothing you can do to me. I'm good. And so, the Pharisees, and if you go and read, maybe start reading chapter 7 of Mark and even into chapter 8, the scribes and the Pharisees are around Jesus. And he has done a lot of miracles, and they're still asking him to do another miracle. And so, Jesus says, I'm not going to do any more miracles for you. And he begins to use these parables to illustrate to people their condition. He's done miracles before. They had eyes, but they weren't seeing clearly. And so we notice in our text that immediately after the Pharisees and scribes begin to complain about Jesus' disciples were eating without washing their hands, that he goes ahead and he feeds the 5,000, and they get into a boat. They go across the river. They got 12 baskets full. And what did they do? How many baskets did they forget? How many baskets of leftovers were after just fed the 5,000? 12. One basket for each of the disciples. When they got to the other side, how many baskets did they have? How many baskets did they have when they got on the other side? Did they forget the baskets, folks? Did they forget the baskets? Oh, Sister Delphine, how many baskets did they have? And when you read the text, they didn't have enough. They're looking at the what was left, that one basket, and they begin to ask themselves, how are we going to survive on what was left over? And Jesus began to say to them, when we started the miracles of the 5,000, there was more people than the 12 of you and less food. Now we've got more food and less people, and the 12 of you are sitting around arguing, how are we going to have enough to eat? And Jesus is pointing out to them, they've got eyes, but they can't see, because they should have known that if he can take two fish and feed 5,000, one basket left over would be more than enough for 12 of them. And they're arguing amongst themselves, what are we going to have to eat because we don't have enough? And so Jesus is illustrating to them and to us that even though they are around him, they've got eyes, but they can't see clearly. So what Jesus does is he pulls out an illustration to them and to us, and he is now going to illustrate to them the importance of not having eyes, but having faith. Because he takes a blind man and leads him out to the city, and the blind man follows willingly. But the disciples, who've got eyes and can't see, are arguing about the things that they should not be fighting about. Later on, Sister Eileen, if you read later on in chapter 8, they got eyes but can't see. Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to go away. He's going to be going away. And that he must suffer many things. And what does Peter do? Peter begins to rebuke Jesus. And again, he's got eyes and he can't see. Brother Morgan, if Peter understood anything about Jesus, he should have known that a day was coming when Jesus would have to leave them and go to the cross. So when he announced that he was leaving, there shouldn't have been all this kerfuffle. They should have just said, Lord, we understand. We've been with you for 3.5 years. We understand your mission, your mercy, and your purpose. But the disciples were so caught up in themselves having Jesus around that they weren't thinking about what Jesus came to do. They were just concerned about having Jesus around for themselves. Oh, it's quiet in here. You know what that's called? So when Jesus announces to Brenda that he was leaving, and he done all the miracles, Peter rebuked him and said, Lord, you can't be talking like this. He had no understanding of God's call on Jesus' life. And all they wanted was Jesus to be around for their own personal comfort and security. Now, do you know any organization in the world that seems to operate like that today? It's called the church. We want Jesus around because we want the things of his hands. We want the things that he can give us. But when it comes to understanding and allowing Jesus to do his will in our lives, we're not so open to that.
Amen.
Especially if it disturbs our little comfort zones.
Right.
I'm coming now. Fix it. I want to set the context up real quick. So, Jesus begins to illustrate to the disciples that how important it is for them not just to be able to see, but to see clearly. It's important for them to see. Not just important for them to see, but to see clearly. And sometimes you can't see clearly unless you spend a little bit more time with Jesus. When the blind man was asked, do you see anything? He said, yes, I see people that look like trees. Jesus could have said, go home, and in 10 days you'll get better. But he said, no, stick around. I need you to stay in my presence till you see clearly. I'm just setting the context up for you. And so, it's important for you to understand, Sean and Sister Monique and Alric and Shanique, that there's a lot of people with eyes, but they're not seeing clearly. You've got to see things clearly. And in order to see things clearly, you've got to look at the bigger picture and not be so self-centered and self-focused. I ain't got to get no amen. Can I get a little something on the organ? So as he passed through, people recognized Jesus, and they decided that they were going to bring this blind man to him and beg him to touch him again, to touch him. And perhaps this was his desire to get away and to maybe perform another miracle. We're not always sure, but Jesus does nothing unless he does it on purpose. And so immediately after the disciples misunderstood what Jesus was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, he responded and said to them, do you not see or understand? Jesus was quoting a passage from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, and which speaks of having eyes to see, but having eyes but cannot see, having ears but cannot hear. But did they really understand what Jesus was talking about seeing things clearly? And again, in Mark chapter 8, verse 27 to 33, you can see that the disciples did not. This passage shows us clearly that Jesus can be around, or we can be around Jesus, but we still don't understand who Jesus really is. So let me get into this for you. What is needed to assist people to see clearly? Because I think if I asked a question, how many of you would like to see clearly? Every hand in the place will go up. But let's go from the text to see what is needed to help this man that was brought to Jesus see clearly. And my first point is that you need faithful friends. If you're going to see clearly, you need the help of faithful friends. Can I tell you something? When this opportunity to become a corporate chaplain was presented to me in Debbie and I have an agreement, and we say, okay, God only has to speak to the two of us. And so if there's any time we're having a discussion about anything and we're on opposite sides of the fence, we don't make the decision. We say that two cannot walk together unless they come into agreement. And so when we came into agreement, I knew, okay, in all of our years, 20 years of married life, we've only done things that we came into agreement with. But I didn't even stop there. I went to my good buddy, Alan. I went to some of my district friends. And I talked to a bunch of seasoned veterans of the faith and ran what was going on taking place in my life because I needed the wisdom and the counsel of those people. And I want to say to you, if you're going to see things clearly, you can't live on an island by yourself and make those decisions by yourself. Hello, somebody in the back. I hope you're here with me. You just can't get up one morning and decide, well, this is what I'm going to do because it feels right to me. You need to talk to your wife and come into agreement with her. Talk to your wife or your husband. And if you don't have a wife or a husband, find a good girlfriend. Find a good elder. Find a good father figure and come into agreement. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. So if you want to go west and she wants to go east, what's going to happen? So this man... Last week I told you there was a fella, I told you don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. Here is a man who couldn't walk and four friends carried him to Jesus. Here is a man who could walk but can't see and he has some faithful friends. And when you look at these parables, don't isolate the parables by themselves, but begin to look at things holistically, Joseph, you're going to see that if you're going to get to a place where Jesus can touch you, you need to have faithful people around you who can help you get to that place. You cannot live on an island by yourself and say that I'm a Christian. Make decisions by yourself and just expect people to follow along. You can't bully people into following you. If you are in any kind of intimate relationship with other people, you got to come into agreement. And if you haven't prayed about your decision yet, start praying. Get into God's word. And so we notice that this man, if he's going to see clearly, we're not making Swiss chalet today, okay? he needs faithful friends. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus and pleaded with Jesus that he might touch him. The people had knowledge of Jesus and his ability. If you're going to be able to see clearly, you can't be around people who are worse off than you are and not able to help you. This man had some friends who had knowledge of Jesus, who had knowledge of where Jesus was, and they were willing to help him get to Jesus. You know, they didn't just send him a text message or an email.
Amen.
They took the time and led him to Jesus. When you know what Jesus can do, you want to bring as many people as you can to him. When Jesus has touched you, you just don't only sing about that touch on a Sunday morning, but you go to the door and say, oh, he touched me. And tell the people on the job site that I had an ailment, but Jesus touched me. I had some difficulties, but Jesus touched me. I had a bad report from the doctor, but Jesus touched me. I had a situation that I couldn't work on my own, but Jesus touched me. Not just singing about it on Sunday morning, but in any bet, it's good to start on a Sunday morning because maybe if you start on Sunday, it might carry over to Tuesday. And so these friends knew about Jesus, and you need some people in your life who know about Jesus. I don't want people around me when I'm going through stuff. They talk to me about everybody else other than Jesus. I need some people who can talk to me about the goodness of Jesus, about the love of Jesus, about the touch of Jesus, about the power of Jesus, about the anointing of Jesus. I need somebody to talk to me about Jesus when I can't talk to him for myself. I need somebody to intercede on my behalf to Jesus when I'm talking about this morning. I don't just need folks to hang around and let me live and wallow in self-pity. I want some friends in my life who are refusing to allow me to live below my value and my worth. I want some friends that say, Sion, you are better than this. You don't have to stay blind. You don't have to stay lame. You don't have to stay crippled. You don't have to stay poor. You don't have to stay black. You don't have to die young. You are better than this. I need some people around me like that. And so the friends that this man had refused to allow him to keep living below his worth and his value. If you got friends in your life and they're happy to keep you poor, then they aren't your friends. If you got some friends in your life that are happy to keep you living below your value, they aren't your friends. If you got people in your life that are willing to keep you living below your value and what your potential are, they are not your friends. You need somebody who's going to come into agreement with you and say, you are better than this. You deserve to see at least the opportunity. And so this man had some friends around him that was willing to help him get to Jesus. The true friends will never see you in need, know where to get help, and leave you in a situation of need. If I'm truly your friend, Barry, and I've got the resources to help you, but chooses not to help you, then what kind of friend am I? I don't need those kind of friends. I don't have some enemies around me instead. True friends will help you if they have the means to do so. They will not agree with your circumstances. True friend will not allow you to keep living and wallowing in self-pity. True friends will not allow you to keep living in unforgiveness. True friends will not allow you to keep living in a situation that is not conducive to your development and your growth. They will not watch you suffer in silence and so stay miserable and stay depressed and remain in self-pity. They took the initiative to get this man to Jesus. In this text, what we have is that we have, here is intervention with intercession without invitation. I'm going to say that again. We have intervention with intercession without invitation. The blind man never asked those four friends or how many friends there are to take him to Jesus. But because they are his friends, they intervened in his situation, but it wasn't with gossip. That was somebody. They didn't show up at the prayer meeting and say, Lord, you know, brother so-and-so's, you know, he messed up last night, you know, with Sister Mary's house. We just want to pray for his blessings and get you healing. You know all those gossip that take place in prayer meeting. But they interceded. Oh, glory. I told y'all we got two more Sundays. They intervene with intercession. I need some friends who can go to God on my behalf without me having to ask for it. I need some friends who can say, God, I got a friend that don't have no eyes, but I know you can touch him. And I'm interceding this morning on his behalf that your healing power right now will begin to flow through from the top of his head down to the sole of his feet. I need some friends when I can't carry my own burdens that will stand up and help me carry my burdens. I need some friends who will cry with me in my darkest hours. I need some friends who will laugh with me in my joyful times. I need some friends who can go to God and say, Lord, we need to make a way out of no way for brother so-and-so. And not send it off to some email on the journal and internet, but make it a matter of intercession and begin to call on God without me having to ask for it. Those are the kind of friends I want to have around me. this blind man,
had
intercession without invitation. You know, if we're truly involved in each other's lives, we shouldn't have to go around asking people to pray for us. Because if I'm connected with Carmen, Holy Spirit will put Carmen on my heart.
Yes.
And I'll pray for him without he asking.
Yes.
Holy Spirit will put me on your heart without me even asking.
Yes.
And when Holy Spirit puts the impression upon my heart, I don't have to question it. I just go ahead and I do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't like to do it because it comes at 3 o'clock in the morning when sleep is good. But that's the time when Holy Spirit has your attention because it's quiet.
Yes.
And you got a little bit of sleep earlier, and now you're still refreshed now a little bit. But we don't want to roll out of bed and intercede for that person. But when the Holy Spirit impresses upon someone that you pray for them, you ought to go ahead and do it.
Yes.
Now, these friends, they've got eyes, and they can't give him their eyes because they need their own eyes. But they could use what they have to help guide him to a place where he can now receive what he once had. You don't hear me.
Yeah.
The fact that the man says, I can see people and they look like trees, tells me that at some point in time, he must have seen trees.
Yeah.
So he's not born blind. He lost his sight. And he's going to get it back. And I'm going to come on that in a minute. Everybody needs somebody. How do you know if you're doing the right thing? Well, there was no request from the blind man to be taken to Jesus. There was no resistance from the blind man to go to Jesus. And when they got to Jesus, there was no rejection from Jesus for bringing the blind man to him. Let me repeat that to you again. Because sometimes we're doing things and we don't know if we're doing the right thing. But how do you know if you're doing the right thing? How would these friends know if they were doing the right thing by taking this blind man to Jesus? Sometimes you don't have the answer to the question up front, but you've got to go through the process. And only as you're coming out, you can look back and say, this was the right decision. Now, we have to be mature enough that if we make a bad decision after we've gone through the process and look back, to be big enough and say, you know, Lord, I blew that one. I totally messed that up.
Responsibility. Yes.
And we need to practice that in our marriages, especially with our spouses, because it's a place where it will affect us the most. And a lot of us are too proud to say, we're sorry, I made a mistake. Let me ask you this, if you think I'm lying, when was the last time you apologized? Even though you need to start the problem. When was the last time? You know you didn't start the problem, but you don't want any kind of chaos in your life. But you say, honey, I'm sorry. I don't want to fight with you. When was the last time you did that? Now, if you live by yourself and you're talking like that, something is wrong. You're walking around, honey, I'm sorry. Nobody else in the house. Sometimes you don't know if the decision you're making is the right decision until you go through the process. And so here's what we notice. They made the right decision. And the reason I know they made the right decision, Gene, is that there was no request from the blind man to be taken to Jesus. It was a risk. He could have said, I don't want to go. There was no resistance from him. He just went along with the process. And when he got to Jesus, Jesus didn't turn him away. So when I look at that, I conclude that they made the right decision. But sometimes you don't know if you're making the right decision until you take a chance and go through. Somebody here needs to take a chance on something. Take a chance. Take a chance and stick around and see what God's going to do. Take a chance. What do you have to lose? Absolutely nothing. And they took this upon themselves. They pleaded with Jesus. They interceded for the one in need. They knew he needed needed it to be touched by Jesus. And what we notice in the text is that Jesus touched him and he began to see. But we in the church today, we are touching people But we're not transforming them. So this man didn't just want any kind of touch. He wanted the right touch. And it's important for us to give the right touch, not just any kind of touch. Amen? All right. And so I want to encourage you, don't let anybody put their hands on you who you're not sure what they have, because people transfer all kinds of different things. I need some friends who will stand in the gap for me, touch me with the anointing and the power of Almighty God. I need some friends who will pray for me without me saying anything. I need some friends, some true friends, that when I get through praying, when they get through praying for me, every devil in the hell has to run from my house. That's the kind of friends I want around me. Now listen to this. Not only does he need faithful friends, but this man, point number two, he needs fresh faith. The people, how many of them, brought him to Jesus? But now he has to trust Jesus for himself. So they brought him to Jesus, and then this is something missing in the text. They brought him to Jesus, and now Jesus takes him by the hand and takes him out of the city. He leaves the friends behind, and he takes the man out of the city. Let me talk to you about that. Where Jesus wants to take you, everybody can't go. Where Jesus wants to take you, everybody can't go. It doesn't mean that they're bad people. These friends, they were faithful, they were good. But there comes a point in your life where you got to bring an end to certain kinds of relationships. Some people can't go with you where Jesus wants to take you. So there comes a time where you have to make sure you don't take relationships and make them permanent when they're supposed to be temporary. Ladies, I'm going to get on you for this. A lot of you are onto these men that are supposed to be temporary relationships and try to make them permanent. And it's not working out. And instead of letting go, you still keep holding on. Turn that bugger loose. You're holding on to these fellas that's going no place. Turn them loose. Don't make something permanent that's intended to be temporary. And so we notice in the text that Jesus took the blind man away. Some people can't go where he wants to take. You've got to leave something. You have got to disconnect from some folks. As good as they've been to you, as helpful as they are, there comes a point when you got to disconnect. You have to disconnect. And so this blind man now has to put complete faith and trust in Jesus, because he doesn't know Jesus. And here's Jesus taking him by the hand, disconnecting him from what he was familiar with, what he knew, and Jesus is taking him to some place he doesn't know. He's got to now exercise new faith, fresh faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes in our lives, we've got to do things that we've never done before if we want what we've never had. And so he's got to follow Jesus and trust Jesus. But I came by to tell you that this man did not have eyes and he followed Jesus. What about those of us that got eyes and don't want to follow Jesus? I came by to let you know that this morning I'm so glad that I know Jesus for myself. I can feel him deep down in my soul. And I can see things clearly. I thank God for Jesus for dying for my sins. And I'm so blessed to know him personally and intimately that I can walk with him and talk with him. And he calls me his own. And I'm so glad that I'm a friend of Jesus. When you're being led, held and led with Jesus, and in Jesus' hands, you're in the right hands. Some people can only help you so far. Like I said, they're not bad people, but the friends had to release control and allow Jesus to take this blind man where he wants to take him. Where he leads me, I must follow. Where he wants me to go, I must follow. For the blind man has to step away from what is familiar to him. And you will have to step away from what is familiar and been comfortable for you. And you're going to have to trust Jesus and keep your hands in God's unchanging hands. But if your hands are in God's unchanging hands, you are in the right hands. Jesus will never lead you astray. He will never lead you to a place where his grace will not be able to sustain you and protect you and comfort you. This man has to allow himself to be separated from what he's familiar with. He has to keep his hands in God's hands. He has to keep holding on to Jesus' miraculous power. And Jesus now decides that he's going to spit in this man's face. It's an uncomfortable situation. And sometimes we want healing and we want deliverance and we want power and victory. But we have it in our minds how it must come. Don't you think Jesus could have just said, well, I could just say be healed, or just looked at him and he could be healed?
Yeah.
Why go through all this mess with spitting and all this kind of stuff? But sometimes God does things so that we can learn the lessons that he wants us to learn, so that we can develop and we can grow into the person that he wants us to be. It doesn't always come the way we want it to, but God went down to his own pharmacy, a spitting pharmacy, and began to spit and began to make medicine. It wasn't pretty, it wasn't nice, but it worked. And my thing is, if it works and God is doing it, then let it work.
Amen.
Let it work. Jesus uses a double action. Touched him once. All right, there's some people, Jesus have to touch them twice.
Yep.
Not because he has to, but they need to know the second touch. Because some people have been so far gone from Jesus that the first touch doesn't really register. You need a second touch. And I say, God, touch me as many times as you need to touch me. When we follow Jesus, we must be open to the unconventional methods of restoration that God may employ in our lives. We cannot put Jesus in a box because we think he should operate a certain way. Not only does he need fresh faith, but now he needs a final touch. Now you gotta have patience with the process. How many of you have been to the movies and haven't inside and you came out and it was dark inside, and when it came out, it took your eyes some time to adjust to the light? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes when you're in the dark room, big process, it'll take some time for your eyes to adjust when you come out to the light. And it takes a while. So sometimes it's not instantaneous, but it's progressive. And don't think that because the doctor is giving you medication that you're not healed. Your miracle could be in a bottle.
Yeah.
All right? Your miracle could be in a bottle. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So whatever the doctors used, God gave them the brain to create it. We ought to be able to open to that and trust God so that we can get our miracle and our healing. So this man needs to be patient with the process. And I want to say to you today, New Hope, you have to be patient with the process. The changes that are going to take place at New Hope are not going to happen overnight. It has taken us 16 years to get to this place. It didn't happen overnight. This is not an overnight thing. It's going to take some time. And you have to be patient with the process. Do you see anything? Now, what can you see? Well, the man said, I can see, but it's not clearly. And what I hear in the text is that things have gotten better. Sometimes people become bitter and resentful because the healing is not complete. But I think sometimes we ought to pause and celebrate what's gotten better.
Yeah.
You haven't got the job you wanted, but you have a job.
Yeah.
You don't have the marriage that you want, but you got a spouse.
Amen.
Celebrate what's gotten better.
Amen.
We don't have the building that we want, but we got a building. I'm not driving a car that I want, but I got a car. My family is not what I want them to be, but I've got a family.
Yeah.
So take time and start celebrating what has gotten better. And don't complain about what you don't have yet. Celebrate what has gotten better. There was change, but there was not complete transformation. And sometimes your eyes will take time to adjust. If people are seen like trees, then you might want to treat them like objects. And you need another touch. Because when you treat objects better than you treat people, you need another touch. Pastor, what are you talking about? When you can take 2-3 hours a day to shine your car and make sure it's all detailed and nice, but you can only spend 5 minutes talking to your wife, you're treating objects better than you're treating your partner. Yeah. That is, I don't get too many shouting on that one. When you can spend hours and hours watching the basketball game or the football game, but you got no time for meaningful conversation in the relationship. Now, if you live alone, you're talking to yourself, something's wrong. But make sure.
That's right.
When you begin to treat objects better than we treat people, we need a second touch.
Amen.
The question is asked, but it's answered incorrectly. The answer should have been, do you see anything? And the answer should have been just yes. Sight was restored, but it was not in focus. I want you to have focus today, New Hope. You can see, but you don't quite have focus. Jesus wants you to have focus. You can't have focus if you're caught up on the emotional. You can only get focused when you begin to lean on the spiritual, see the bigger picture, and understand what it is that God is trying to say to you, do through you, and where he wants to take you. If you're making decisions based on emotions, you don't have focus. He could see, but it's not clear. He was not born blind, like I told you earlier, because he knows what trees look like. Healing was gradual. It wasn't instantaneous. He could not distinguish the details. And sometimes, my friends, when you're going through stuff, you don't always have the details. He couldn't distinguish the details. But as you go through life, you will see and be able to look back and recognize the details. As I transition from New Hope, you may not know the full picture. But as you begin to have focus, you're going to begin to see the details. And the details will work themselves out. But you have to give it process. You have to give it time. You just can't leave not seeing clearly. You have to be able to leave seeing clearly. And if you can see clearly, then I would say that you have God's blessing. But if you can't see clearly and you're making emotional decisions without having all the facts or knowing God's plan, then you're not in the will of God, I don't think. And so the details have to be worked out. I see people and they look like trees. We should never assume that because we can see some truth that we know all truth, because we see limited. Jesus restored what was lost, because Jesus is in the restoration business. I'm about to get happy now. I don't know about you, but you are feeling as though you're going to be losing your pastor and you're going to be losing a lot of this, but I came by to tell you that the Jesus that I serve tells me in his word that he is in the restoration business. Whatever you think you may have lost, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is going to give it back to you. And I want you to know that if you would hold on to God's unchanging hands, yes, you might have lost it for just a little while, but when God begins to bless you, there's going to be an abundance. There's going to be overflow. There's going to be multiplication. There's going to be multiples of everything. As our brother says, there's going to be double-double. Does anybody here want to have some double-double? Well, I want you to know that God is in the business of just restoring what was lost. Yes, you may have lost your business, but God is about to bring it back to life. You may have lost your family, but it's not beyond the help of God. You may have lost your joy because life been beating on you. But I'm here to tell you that if you hold on to God's unchanging hands, my Bible tells me that the weeping may endure for a night, but praise God Almighty, joy, 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 joy comes in the morning. Yeah, I want to tell you that God is going to restore your walk. When the man received the sight, that Jesus said to him, don't go back through the village. Because you must understand that a lot of people in the village were doubting and were happy to keep him living below his value and his worth. But when God blesses you, he doesn't want you to go back to a cursed place. He don't want you to go back to people who were willing to keep you at a certain level. He wants you to go a different direction. Like he said to the wise man, don't go back to Herod. He doesn't have good intentions, but going in a new direction. And when God gets ready to bless you, He's going to take you in a new direction. Don't be afraid of the new direction. Just continue to hold on to God's unchanging hands and begin to walk with God and talk with God and trust Him with your every move. Do I have any witnesses in the house this morning? And I want you to know that when God gives you a second chance and when God gives you a second touch, people don't have to ask you if you've been changed. Because you see, when the blind man got the second touch, he began to walk differently, Sister Audrey. You see, the first time when he was blind, he was walking with a cane and having to have people lead him and trying to figure his way out. But now that he can see, he can just run, he can skip, he can hop. And people don't have to ask if he can see. He can tell that he can see just by the way he's walking now. Because when you can see clearly, you walk differently. When you can see clearly, you talk differently. When you can see clearly, you behave differently. When you can see clearly, certain things that look like a problem, it's not a problem. Because now you can see clearly. So I came out to tell you, don't leave until you be able to see the things clearly. God wants you to have vision. He wants you to have focus. You got to be able to see with your spiritual eyes and not with your natural eyes. Lord, touch me one more time so I can see clearly. And I came by to tell you that everything you lost, God is about to give it back. The blind man got his eyes back. He got his running back. He got his skip back. He got his job back. He got his life back. Now he can work. Now he can provide. And God is going to return to everything that the Congo worm still took from you. He's in the restoration business. He's going to give it back 100-fold. Just hold on. For God's unchanging hands. Yes, while the winds may knock you from side to side and storms may come up, but I tell you to hold on, new hope. Hold on, new hope. God wants you to see things clearly. Don't move without seeing things clearly. And if you trust God, He will lead you to higher heights and deeper depths. Just hold on to God's unchanging hand. God is going to restore it. He's going to bring it back. And He's going to make it all new. Somebody to shout out to you. The right touch. The right touch. Lord, I need a second touch from you. I need a second touch. I need to see things clearly. For us, when we were in this process of deliberation, I created 7 things. I wrote them down and I'm going to share them with you. That I knew that we were and are seeing things clearly. Number one, we know that it was God's leading. Number two, we know that it was an answer to prayer. Number three, you can't beat God given. God is not going to allow me to sacrifice for Him and watch me suffer. That's not what His word says. If I give to Him, He's going to give back. That's what I've been preaching. That's what's been happening. He's giving back. Just didn't come the way we thought it might have come. It's the right move for my family. 16 years, it's time for change. Unable to get this place, this assembly to a place where it became financially self-sustaining. I want to ask you that whoever your next leader is, support him. Support the work. Support the Lord's church. You can't beat God given. A lot of you have been cheaping out on your tithes. You've been tipping, not tithing. Yeah. Woo! Now, don't go shouting too much now because I can go check the records. I got 2 more weeks. You can't do that in the next. Don't be making too much noise because we go check the records. Sometimes the people that shout the most are the ones that give the least. Hello, somebody. But my family and I are at peace more than anything else.
Hallelujah.
Number 7, we are at peace more than anything else. And I thank God for that, for His peace that passes all understanding. His peace that passes all understanding. Don't leave until you see things clearly. I believe that what happened this morning is just a glimpse.
Yeah.
It's just a glimpse don't know how many years we've been praying to watch this church be free. And you come Sunday after Sunday, and some of you want to jump onto the island. You get to the edge, but you go back in. Today was a good day.
Yes.
Hopefully next week you can be in the aisles, dancing with freedom. I'm asking for a favor. Support Alric.
Yes.
Support Alric and the music ministry.
Amen.
So when he comes down on you for being late for practice, or you're not singing the right key, or whatever it is, or he's encouraging you as a congregation to participate and worship the Lord, don't frown, don't fuss. Support the young man. Support the young man. This is the call of God on his life. And God has sent him here to be a blessing to you. Support the young man. I want your next pastor to come in. Support him. I want you to stop talking stupidness like I'm too old. Like you be too old and die. I got two more weeks, man. That's the man. Seriously. I'm too old. You too old and just going times. Free up some oxygen. Let's help each other out. Let's be the family that God wants us to be. And stop complaining about all the stuff that's not in place, but you're doing nothing about it. You want relationship, but you don't come to men's ministry. You want this, but you're not involved. You're always too busy. Make time. People make time for what's important for them. So it's not fair for two or three people to be doing all the work and a whole bunch complaining about stuff.
Amen.
Support. You have all the ingredients to be an awesome and a more beautiful church family. Take it to the next level. Take it to the next level.
Yes. Amen.
I've given you everything I've got. Take it to the next level. Can you promise me that?
Yes.
Take it to the next level. Take it to the next level. Don't leave without seeing things clearly. Jesus don't want Christians walking around with foggy vision. They're dangerous to themselves and dangerous to other people too. You drive with those folks on the roadway, you know. You want to get away from them real fast. It's no difference from the church. You don't want to be hanging around people that are making decisions and operating every machinery and doing things that can get hurt other people. See clearly. See clearly. Valerie, would you come? See clearly. Don't move or leave until you see things clearly. Sean, would you turn off the cameras for just a second?